there is a generation gap or a gap where maybe some people aren't, we have a lot of people that aren't using Instagram in our business. And you just go in there and you have to say, look, the thing is, people are going to buy from someone they know, like, and trust. And the best way to put that information out there is to be the person that pops up on their screen, right, with some relevant information or some great photography, whatever it is. And so that way you're always going to be, you know, at the top of their mind,
right,
for doing that. So I think a lot of times, too, people where they miss the boat is the only stuff they're putting out there is buy my product, buy my service, you know, me.
Right.
Good content creation is giving stuff for free via content. So that way, you know, when they do need a photographer, they're going to say, oh, I know a guy and I really like him because I love following him on Instagram.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Conversations Podcast, where we talk about all things creative, entrepreneurial, business, photography, video, weddings, life, and everything else in between. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day when we asked about my podcast. He said, you have a podcast? And I said, yep, I do. You should subscribe and listen to some of the episodes. He says, well, what's it about? And I said, good question. Right now, it's about everything I want to talk about. It's about everyone that I want to talk to, and it's about everything that I'm passionate about or maybe I'm intrigued by. So welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Virgil Bunau. I'm a photographer here in Charleston, South Carolina. Today, for instance, speaking of what I am intrigued by and passionate about, my guest today she's an amazing individual, loves marketing. We're going to talk about marketing today. So part of the reason that I've had success in photography is because of my love for marketing, not just marketing in general, but I am really encouraged and excited about marketing and identifying where people's attentions are and how people behave and what content catches their attention. So today, my special guest is someone who's an expert in marketing. Her name is Vivian Walton, and I hope I'm saying that right. She's with theseasonmarketer.com. If you want to look her up right now while listening to this podcast, check out her website. You can scroll down and find out what she has to offer. Vivian graduated from the University of South Carolina. Vivian has a lot of experience in marketing, having to work for a marketing research firm, performing survey calls, recruiting, and assisting with focus groups, to a local town's chamber of commerce as a director of membership development. She's the executive director of marketing for the largest multi-specialty independent physicians group here in South Carolina. She has accomplished so much. Like, for instance, launching 3 corporate websites, which is a huge undertaking. If you've been involved in website creation and development and launching, that's huge. She has hosted press conference to announce the building of a $32 million integrated medical campus. She's also have done some successful fundraising for Nikki Haley, who is a former governor of South Carolina. She's done some groundbreaking event for a $32 million medical campus, which resulted in vast media coverage. So I think she's an expert, in my opinion. I don't know about you, but I want to welcome Vivian Walton. Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it. I'm good.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here on a Sunday. This is, I know you probably have some family things going on, but thanks for giving your time to talk with us for a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a treat. I was looking forward to catching up with you. I haven't seen you in years, so.
Oh, it's been years, right? Yeah, for some reason, I thought you moved, but you stayed around the area.
I did.
But you did, right? That's cool. So tell me, Vivian, a little bit about, so you went to South Carolina. What was your degree in?
So I did a dual degree in international business and marketing.
Cool.
So I definitely am applying what I learned in school every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So as far as the seasonmarketer.com. What is that? What can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Yeah, so I still have a full-time job, as you mentioned, with Palmetto Primary Care Physicians, and I do all of their advertising and marketing. The Season Marketer is really my passion project, I guess you could call it. So I was lucky enough when I came out of college that I started working for the local Chamber of Commerce, which is how I met you. And
wait, really, I met you also. You were a bridesmaid.
For Lydia, huh?
For Lydia, yes.
So
did I meet you before that wedding? I think.
You did, yeah. So I think Lydia did maybe some intern work with you or something. She somehow came into your scope.
Yes.
But anyway, so the Season Marketer is my passion project in the sense that when I came out of school and I started working for the local chamber, I worked with a lot of small businesses. And I realized that there are resources out there that they just don't know about, or they don't realize that it's at their fingertips for free or for a minimal cost. And so with my years of experience in marketing, I kind of wanted to mix the two. And it was the point where I realized there was opportunity was really a gentleman when I had done the groundbreaking for the medical campus. He came up to me and he had a business up in Ohio or some other state, and he was the foreman, and he said, you know, hey, I want to do this for my organization because I'm about to open up a storage facility. And so I gave him a press release kit and I kind of walked him through the steps, and I thought, well, goodness, if this is something he could use, then how many other business owners could use the same type of information?
Cool. So you have a Facebook. So you post your videos mm-hmm. on Facebook. Is that a YouTube? Is there a YouTube channel as well?
There is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I have weekly videos that I put out there.
Cool.
And it's all related to marketing content. And so I distribute it through Facebook. I utilize it on Instagram. I started doing IGTV as well, and then also on YouTube. But every platform is so different, and so that's why, you know, getting it out there across all the platforms is really important.
How does that work? So you film a video mm-hmm. and then you post it on Facebook, IGTV mm-hmm. and YouTube all the same day, or?
Yep. So it takes a lot of prep work, as you know, just like with podcasting. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, but really I'll videotape it one day, and then the following day I'll go ahead and actually piece it together. And so I'll piece it together for Facebook, and then I'll go in and redo it again for IGTV, because everyone has different specs. So you can repurpose a lot of the material. You just have to take the time to actually do the you know, the legwork.
Gotcha.
Repurpose it. Mm-hmm.
So for the people that are listening out there right now that want to follow along with our conversation, mm-hmm. so I'm on the Facebook page, your Facebook mm-hmm. page. I usually do this towards the end, and yeah. I'll give you an opportunity to promote it some more towards the end. But so I'm on there, the Seasoned Marketer. Mm-hmm. And so I see a lot of videos of you talking about a particular subject. How does that work? How do you pick a topic, I guess? You pick a topic and then you distribute it to all these platforms?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same video, same length, or you just got it?
It's the same video, same length, depending on, for example, until IGTV came along with Instagram, it was a little different. So you would maybe post like 30 seconds of the video and then tell the person to go to like your YouTube channel. But now that they have IGTV, you can upload videos that are much longer. So that's really key to putting your content out there.
So tomorrow you're going to launch a video?
Tomorrow I am.
So mm-hmm. tomorrow you launch. So how long are your videos?
They started off, and so it's nice to see the progression. I call them Monday marketing minutes. So ideally when the first couple of videos I did, they were like 2 minutes long or a minute long. That means talking really, really fast.
Yes.
And right. And so then I thought, well, I could provide way more content if I made the videos a little longer. So I do try to keep them under 10 minutes. Some of them, if they're tutorials, they do end up going over 10 minutes, but it just depends on what the topic is.
So tomorrow, how long is the video?
It's probably going to be around like 6 minutes.
So it's ready. So today's Sunday, tomorrow's Monday.
Right.
So it's ready. Uh-huh. So that 6-minute video tomorrow is going to be posted on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a certain topic. And then what are you going to do as far as Instagram and YouTube?
So the one thing I always try to promote for small business owners especially is with a little bit of planning. What I do for my Facebook is I actually schedule those ahead of time. So, for example, it's scheduled for tomorrow. It's already loaded. Yes, it's loaded. And so what I've done is I've told Facebook, go ahead and release this at 5:30 in the morning. And it'll do it on its own. The only thing I have to go in and do is because I do utilize closed groups to promote the videos, because I'm still building my base, I do go in there and physically share the video into these closed groups.
Gotcha.
And so then I do have to upload it on Instagram because I'm not using there are some apps that you can preload it, but those are, I'm not to the point where I want to use them.
Right.
So I do have to go in and physically load the IGTV tomorrow morning.
How long is the IGTV?
It's going to be the same length.
So it's the same video?
Yes.
So you have to transfer that video to your phone?
Yes.
And upload it?
And upload, yes.
So it's just a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And then what happened? What's the other platform you're going to do
YouTube.
So you're going to upload it tomorrow as well?
Yes.
On YouTube?
I can schedule it.
So that's preloaded?
Yes.
That's ready?
Uh-huh.
So tomorrow at 5:30?
Yes.
It's going to be on YouTube?
Yep.
So all three platforms will have the same episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else you're going to do for tomorrow's video?
I'm
trying to get I'm trying to get the listeners just kind of how it works. It's different for everybody. So those three platforms, three videos, all the same, launching at 5:30. Anything else you're doing to promote that video?
LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do there?
So I upload the video, what we call native.
Okay.
So I will take the video from my hard drive, upload it, and then the captions I use on LinkedIn are a little different than the captions I use on Facebook. Facebook, it's a little more fun. I can inject a little more humor in it. LinkedIn's a little more professional,
right.
So I try to keep it short and to the point.
Gotcha. I'm on LinkedIn, but it's been a while since I need to be on there more.
Yeah.
I feel like LinkedIn is just gaining grounds.
It is.
Special on the B2B, business-to-business side of things.
The other one, Pinterest. And I think Pinterest is one of those where, especially for women or for people in general who are looking for recipes or information, whether it's wedding ideas, they utilize and go to Pinterest. But as small business owners, we don't realize that we can be on the other end and uploading our content on there so that people can find it. And that's just one more touch point that you can reach out to potential customers.
Yes, for sure. 100%. Yeah. I think we're on there a lot, being on the wedding side. And especially when we're blogging or when we get published, we make sure that we pin a couple images that will feed into that website or the blog or the wedding blog where our work got published. So I think it's huge. Yeah, Pinterest is definitely huge. And I think, I don't know when they started doing this, but you can now upload your own photo to Pinterest. I think before you can just pin. I don't know when they started changing. Maybe we were a little behind time, so we just started uploading. Not a lot.
Yeah.
But you can actually upload your own content instead of just pinning.
Well, I think that's what I was referring to for business owners. We're the consumers on the other end. We're pinning recipes. We're pinning dresses, outfits that we like. But then the flip side of it is using it for business purposes. So really going in there and saying, so for example, with my video, if it's something, I did one on 15 blog post ideas, right? So I'll go in there and I'll make a graphic to pin, and then I'll upload a little, some information, use a little keywords, and then I will have it to transfer out to my website so they can read or look at the video.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really great. And each one of these platforms, the other part of it too is it does take, for most people, I recommend that they don't do all of them at once because otherwise you're not really going to get enough bang for your buck. So I think if you sit there and say, okay, I want to focus on Facebook and I want to focus on LinkedIn, or I want to focus on Facebook and Pinterest. It's different for every business depending on who you're trying to reach, and every consumer is different on each one of these platforms.
Yeah, it's I was talking to somebody the other day, and a big tool company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say who it is, but they're spending millions of dollars in creating content for Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're hiring some Pinterest influencers mm-hmm. to make content. What I mean by making content is maybe you have a drill. This influencer will create content like using the drill or building something, and then they're paying that person and then tagging or mentioning that mm-hmm. tool company. And of course, the tool, I mean, when you see that particular tool, it's with their branding, it's everybody could recognize what company that is because of the colors and the way their branding works. But it's fascinating that a lot of these big corporations are really just investing and putting in a lot of dollars towards social and all these platforms.
Well, and I think what helps is, you know, from their perspective, like for us, a physicians group, if we're out there and we see that people have a big market or a big following, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. So you want to get in front of their audience. It's a little different from like the typical newspaper ads that we used to do, mm-hmm. but it's the same thing. So if you were putting a newspaper ad out there, you would go to the newspaper that has the highest readership, right? And so it's the same way when you're going through Instagram, if you want to pay an influencer to mention your product, or that's why a lot of these companies are sending these boxes to influencers, right? So like, yes. I'm sending you a subscription box so that you can videotape it and show people what we have in the box, because they realize that's more eyes on the product.
Right, yeah. My very first episode guest in this program, Holly, she's a big Pinterest influencer, and mm-hmm. with over, I think she said over 1 million following.
Yeah.
It's crazy. She told us a little bit about, if you guys are listening out there, if you haven't listened to it yet, go back to episode 1 with Holly Lettingham. She basically gave us a lowdown on how it worked. There were some jobs that paid her thousands of dollars to create content for a certain brand. Mm. She's into more home decor and kitchen, home cooking stuff. So depending on what the company needed, she came up with a plan and created content and submitted either a recipe or cooking recipe. It was very fascinating. Let's talk a little bit about your company. So are mm-hmm. they doing some of the marketing things that we're talking about as far as content?
With the physicians mm-hmm. group? Mm-hmm. We are. We're a very lean team. So
what does that mean, lean team?
Lean team. Like, it means we have a small team.
Gotcha.
That's working.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But, you know, so we have to prioritize and try to figure out what the most important things are first. I think right now we're doing the website development because we need to launch a new website. So it's, you know, it's just going through and figuring out what we want it to do for our patients. But yeah, I think what's interesting with that is every business is different. So for us as physicians, the way we interact with our patients or with our consumer is a little different than a boutique. So Instagram is as important, but at the end of the day, and this is where I think it gets a little interesting from a marketing perspective in social media. So what you'll find is a lot of people are stuck on the vanity metrics.
What does that mean?
So vanity metrics, like I have 1.2 million followers, mm-hmm. and they tote that and they're really excited about it. The only thing is, to me, I think, well, that's not really as important as how many of those people are actually buying your product or service, right? So how many people are booking your wedding, you know, photography? How many people are going in and seeing our physicians? And because for physicians, it is something that is so geographically based, so we're not going to have somebody coming from North Carolina to see a physician, right? Unless they're like a specialist. For us, it's sticking to the demographic in the geographic area around here that we can serve. So every business is different. Now for the seasoned marketer, I do different things on that platform simply because it's more of an online content generating business. And so I can reach out to people that are 20, you know, states away. So
for like a medical group, like mm-hmm. your company, what is the priority there? What's, I guess obviously you want to have an Instagram, Facebook presence, but mm-hmm. you guys are not really spending a lot of time on there.
Yeah, we do every once in a while. I think it's more so like if we're promoting ads mm-hmm. through there. So those do really well for us. For example, if we have a physician, we have a pediatric physician that's out in Monk's Corner. And so we know that people would typically drive 10 miles, 15 miles at the very most to see a physician. So we have a geographic area that I can actually put an ad out there for to kind of drive patients in or to pique their interest.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you guys are just really using it predominantly for ads and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But let's go back to the vanity measures. Mm-hmm. Why are people so obsessed with the number of likes and following and what?
It makes people feel good. So, you know, everyone wants to, it's typical, I think, human tendency. You want people to like you. It's really, I think it could be counterproductive at times. So there are times where, for example, if not everybody is going to like what you're doing. So if you post something, and I was talking to a girlfriend about this yesterday, and we were kind of giggling about it, but it's true. So some of the kids that are coming up in a very different time who are so connected via Instagram and Facebook, and they'll upload a picture, and if they don't get as many likes as they want, they will delete it and then re-upload it again, right, to see if they could get more likes, mm-hmm. Which to me seems kind of interesting. I think a lot of times, you know, everyone wants to say, hey, you know, I want good comments on my photograph, or I want good comments on the video I put out there. But at the end of the day, that's not, unless that's driving people to buy what you're selling or growing your business, you really need to stay focused on that. So right. you need to make those connections.
So why are people not liking a photo then? Like,
yeah.
Because they're too busy scrolling, they forget to like it. Yeah. It just takes a little bit of, I guess, a move to double tap. Why are people not liking
photos? So this is a whole other conversation. But, you know, there have been recent conversations about Instagram taking away the likes.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is you have to remember, and this is where email marketing comes into. So a lot of times, if you're using platforms like Instagram and Facebook, the audience is really theirs. Okay, so the second that Instagram changes the algorithm, then you have to adjust what you're doing to make sure that your content is popping up. And so the algorithms can change, you know, from month to month, from year to year, and you just have to know how to play the game. But email marketing, as much as people say, you know, email marketing is dead, that's the only way that you actually can secure someone's contact information, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so they say that's why it's really important to build that email base up for a business, because let's say Facebook goes away tomorrow, Instagram goes away tomorrow, you still have a way to communicate with those people.
Yeah, did you experience, I'm sure you experienced it. That was a dumb question. What'd you think about that when it shut down? What, the Instagram went down twice in a year?
Yeah.
Or within 6 months?
It's, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people, they were making a really big deal about it. And it is a big deal. If that's your only way to communicate with your audience, I think that's why you have to really strategically think about what your purpose is in your business and then the best avenues to approach it. But you always have to have a fail safe, right? So mm-hmm. you can't rely on Facebook all the time to upload your information. That's why having websites for businesses are still, there are some people I've heard them say, oh, well, you don't need a website anymore. You know, depending on what your industry is, yeah, it's probably a good idea to have it, because you start talking about search engines and being able to be found on Google and all that stuff. But
if you have a business, if you're in the business world, you have to really, really analyze what people are giving, what advice people are giving you. I was given an advice before where, oh, you don't need a blog anymore.
Yeah, like,
oh,
no.
You do. Well, and I actually, for a while there, I believed that because of the shift of where the attention is. But now it's like, yeah, you do. Yeah. You need a blog. You need as much content out there as possible on all platforms.
Well, I think the easy way to think about it too is think of yourself as the consumer. So I always think about this. I'm like, what is the first thing I do whenever I want to get information on, you know, if I'm doing a do-it-yourself project, right? And I want to do chalk paint on a table. I'm going to Google it. I'm mm-hmm. going to go to YouTube. I'm going to use the resources I have on hand that's going to give me a quick tutorial or tell me what kind of products to buy. That's why blog posts are still very relevant. So if I go to a blog and she's detailed out the steps and tells me all the materials I need to buy, that saves me you know, a whole day of having to sit there and try to think about what I'm going to do. I just follow the instructions.
Right.
So, yeah, I think if you put yourself in the shoes of the consumer.
How do you explain that to a lot of decision makers in today's age in a company or a corporation? Or there's like a big generation gap, right? I mean, you have older people making decisions that are not practitioners as far as Instagram, Facebook, and the digital world. And how do you convince them, hey, you know what? It is worth the money in creating content. Because content creation is expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have good copy, depending on what content you're creating. You have to, you know, have a good videographer, and that same person or another person should edit the video. Or you got to create video, photo, and copy. Mm-hmm. Those are three main contents that you can create. And that's expensive. If you don't have a team in-house, if you're a big corporation, then you need to form a team or outsource that. Mm-hmm. So either way, it's going to cost money.
It is. I think I'll challenge that belief a little bit, in the sense that I think that is the biggest deterrent for small businesses to actually create content. So they say, I don't have a team to help me. I don't have a copywriter. Where would I even start? I don't even have an idea of what I would put out there. And I would say that all good content starts off that way. It starts small, right? So you put a feeler out there and you say, you know, today I'm going to take I have a phone, and I'm going to take a video of myself, and I'm going to say, you know, here are three tips for you to do X, Y, and Z. And then people are going to start to say, oh, those were pretty good tips, and I could take one of those and apply it to my life. So I do think that there's a way around it. But to your point, there is a generation gap, or a gap where maybe some people aren't. We have a lot of people that aren't using Instagram in our business. And you just go in there and you have to say, look, the thing is, people are going to buy from someone they know, like, and trust. And the best way to put that information out there is to be the person that pops up on their screen, right, with some relevant information or some great photography, whatever it is. And so that way you're always going to be, you know, at the top of their mind
right. For
doing that. So I think a lot of times, too, people, where they miss the boat is the only stuff they're putting out there is buy my product, buy my service, you know, me.
Right.
Good content creation is giving stuff for free via content. So that way, you know, when they do need a photographer, they're going to say, oh, I know a guy and I really like him because I love following him on Instagram.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just talking to a friend about that, where gone are the days where the good old, hey, I'm a realtor, hire me. Mm-hmm. It's really more like, what value can you provide in a consistent basis? And it's not just because you post one information that helps them in their lives. That doesn't mean that you're going to get hired right away, but you have to consistently provide value in a way that it'll change people's lives, help them in some way, give them information for free.
Yeah. Well, and people don't like, you know, they always say social media, social is part of that phrase, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to be social, you can't be talking at people all the time, right? You have to talk to people. That's a great way to increase engagement. I mean, the thing is, all these algorithms, they're based off of engagement, likes, and comments. Well, ask people questions. Ask them what they want to hear, or, you know, what tutorials you could be doing to help them out. There's a point where you have to recognize that you can't just go up to someone. I wouldn't meet someone and within 5 minutes of meeting them say, hey, I want you to buy this product that I sell. I would take the time to learn what it is they do, so that way I could figure out, okay, how does my product fit into their life and how can I help them with my product?
Right. You know what I love, and I'm gonna tell you what I don't like either, because I think I'm deep inside, I'm a marketer, but when I see realtors giving information, like videos or written copy about how to take care of your house, hey, how do you save for power? Like something that'll just kind of, I could use, you know, or remind me, oh, change your filters, which we all know.
Right.
I put more value, or more, I have more respect for that realtor, and more than likely I'll call that person, rather than seeing a bunch of realtors posting on Instagram, hey, this house is up for sale, or, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like that's more of a car salesman kind of, I don't know. If you're a realtor and you're listening, and I hope I'm not offending you, but it's the truth. Right. I think people feel the same way. If you're giving value, If you're giving free information and changing and helping, changing people's lives and helping them, I think that's a way, that's a very subtle way of marketing, you know, without even asking, you know. I think if you do jab, 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 right hook, kind of like give,
right,
and then ask, I think you're likely to gain something from it. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, even if you look at it in the fast food industry, would you choose to go to Chick-fil-A or McDonald's?
Oh, all day, Chick-fil-A. Right?
And so, I agree, their chicken nuggets are delicious, but that's not, we go there because we like the experience. We like that they're friendly, that they say, you know, it's my pleasure. It's a different environment than if you're going through the McDonald's drive-thru. And in the same sense, business, I think people have forgotten, is very, it's relationship-based.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if you're doing real estate or anything else, it's the relationships that you build. Social media, I think, in its essence, is supposed to help you with that, but really it's turned into more of a, you know, it's just a platform for me to get my information out there, which it is. But I think by same token, like you said, you have to build those relationships. And the one really great way to do it is through the content.
Right. And to add to that, I think attention is the asset.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to sell something, you need people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you keep that attention? How do you attract more attention? Do you just post like a lot of things, like a lot of the bikini models on Instagram, right, that has a lot of likes and a lot of following? Or if you're a realtor, you don't really want to do that. So you have to kind of think of ways to, how do you retain that attention? How do you attract attention?
Well, I think it depends on what your business is. So for the bikini model,
mm-hmm,
she probably is going to make money by endorsing products, mm-hmm, as an affiliate marketer. So for her, getting eyeballs on her Instagram account is what then she turns around, because the funny thing is, a lot of times people will look at these Instagram accounts and they'll say, oh my gosh, she has 16,000 followers. That's amazing. She could be eating ramen noodles at home and making no money. Just because you have that many followers does not translate into having money in your pocket, right? Or making it a successful business.
Right.
That person in turn, even though they have a lot of followers, has to turn around and reach out to some of the brands and say, hey, I have 16,000 followers and I could do X, Y, and Z for you. They're having to sell themselves to the big companies, so that way they'll send them the product to put it in front of people.
Right.
So real estate is very different in the sense that, you're right, I wouldn't expect that they have as much of a following, but especially if it's geography-based, if I'm a Charleston real estate person, then I'm going to want to connect with people here in Charleston or people that are moving here, so that way I could sell their house or, you know, get them into a new house. So I think a lot of times if people just take the time and instead of jumping to something and say, well, I just want to copy whatever this person is doing,
mm-hmm,
if they sit down and think about it and say, well, my business is a little different and this is what I need to happen for, you know, for it to translate into money in my pocket.
Yeah. Well, to add to that, just because you have 16,000 followers, your content is not seen by all 16,000 because of the algorithm.
Yep.
So what is, do you know what's the percentage or what's the algorithm? Out of, you post the content right now, will 16,000 people see it? No, but what's the percentage?
I know last time I checked, they said it was less than 10%. Now, it could have changed since then, but, you know, the algorithm's constantly changing.
I think it's way less than that.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, so think about it, if they do actually go through, because they did it in, I think maybe in like three countries, they actually took the like button off of there.
Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I think, was it Australia maybe?
Maybe.
One of those other countries.
One of those A countries.
Yeah.
Austria or Australia. Yeah.
So they, if they do go through with that, what are you going to do? You don't know how many people are liking your photo. I think it's going to send people into some type of like a...
Yeah. Well, I think Instagram wants people to post more, and they're noticing. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, I've talked to a lot of people that don't want to post because they don't get enough likes, and it just affects them mentally.
It does, yeah. And that's kind of scary, because you think about, you know, as a business owner, you don't... That does not mean you have a business that's failing.
Right.
But I think a lot of times people are, so they're scared to either look silly by posting something out there and only getting 6 likes, or, you know, they think, oh, well, it's just not worth it to do it.
Is that part of them being insecure people?
I think it, you know.
Or is it just common? Or is it part insecurity, part common?
I think it's common for people to do that. I mean, you know, like I said, they want to put something out there. So what I've learned when I did the season marketer, there were times I would post videos and even getting 100 views on it was like
tough.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah. And you do sometimes think, okay, why am I doing this? But I'm convinced that the universe makes you, you know, you got to be comfortable with the crickets.
Yes.
Hearing no feedback. And I think part of it is so that way you can really hone in on what you're doing and getting your content creation.
Do you get affected by 50 views or 3 likes?
No, I think really what I do is...
Are you over it?
I think for me, if I know that at least one person watches it and maybe takes a little snippet away, that's worth it to me. So, you know, if I'm helping them with a tool or some type of tactic that they didn't know about, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, one thing too with Facebook, they're doing the suggested video now,
mm-hmm.
which is huge.
Oh yeah.
I just saw that. I don't know how I noticed that. I love basketball. So, uh-huh. And I love like 1990s Michael Jordan basketball.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of those lately, maybe, I don't know, the last 6 weeks. It just one video after another, and then all of a sudden it started appearing on my feed, suggested video, and then I'll see like Michael Jordan all the time. I was like, why am I seeing all these Michael Jordan videos all of a sudden? I love this guy. But yeah, I think that's brilliant that Facebook is doing that now.
Well, so who does it remind you of though? What other platform does that?
I don't know.
YouTube.
On the side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so what a lot of people don't realize, so I'll give you something that you learn just through trial and error, and you could read it all day long because I, you know, I'll do my research, I'll read through things. But I had to see it for myself. So I started by uploading my videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought is I'm going to put them on YouTube and then I'm just going to share them on Facebook, on Instagram, and on LinkedIn. Well, what happens is Facebook is in competition with YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook is always going to prioritize people who are uploading native video. So actually uploading the original video onto their platform, because they don't want you to post a link to YouTube and then have you send the person from Facebook onto YouTube's platform.
Mm-hmm.
So what I noticed is the first couple times I did it, I was like, man, I'm not getting a whole lot of viewership. And I said, well, let me try just uploading the native video like everyone says we should be doing. And sure enough, it, you know, I got more views on it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, and in the same sense, that's why Facebook now is promoting Facebook Live. So if you, on top of one up from native video, uploading a video to Facebook is doing Facebook Live. So every time you do a Facebook Live, Facebook is actually going to put that in front of more people than just doing a regular post.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
With a photo.
What about, let's say you have a 5-minute video,
mm-hmm.
you're coming up with tomorrow. What about you cut that video because you want to grow your YouTube following and views? What if you cut that into 30, 40 seconds, mm-hmm. upload the 40 seconds on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and then put some copy on there? Oh, to see the whole episode, go to YouTube. Does Facebook say, you know what? No, we're not doing that.
No, you can do that. There are ways you could do that.
Right, but does Facebook penalize you or algorithm?
No, I don't think they do. What I think, depending on where you're at in your business and what your end goal is. So, for example, if right now I have 200 and something people that are following my Facebook page, when I get to the point where maybe I have like 10,000 people following, I could convert and make a switch, or maybe even 5,000, and say, hey guys, if you want to continue to see this really great content, then go to my YouTube channel and subscribe.
Got it.
Right? And yeah. So then really I've built a following that's going to be more apt to go and
mm-hmm.
because what you're doing is you're putting another step in front of them.
Yes, yes.
You're asking people to do one more thing on top of what they're already doing, and it's on a different platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could probably do it because you have a really great following. So.
Yeah, but still, that's still a big hurdle. And I struggle with this when I talk to other people
mm-hmm.
as far as hurdles, like especially that, like, you don't want them leaving that platform that they're already on. You can leave them for more episodes or longer episode if they're enjoying it, but I think if you have a 40-second or if you have a full episode there already, you don't want them leaving. You want them to stay. And I think what you're saying, going back to what you're saying earlier, just to clarify, you don't want them to paste. You want to upload native video on Facebook and not paste YouTube links.
Yeah.
Because Facebook algorithm is likely to not like that because you're leaving their platform.
Right.
Which makes sense. Here's the thing. When I'm on my phone and I try to say, oh, go to my swipe up and go to my Facebook or to my YouTube, you can't subscribe on your phone when you're from Instagram to YouTube. Isn't that weird?
Well, that's weird. Yeah, so one thing that might help make that connection is Instagram is owned by Facebook.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. So really what you'll see is you'll see a lot of synergy between Facebook and Instagram. So that's why if I'm a business owner, and a lot of business owners out there have probably seen this, when you go on to put an ad on Facebook, there's a little button on there that will say, oh, okay, we'll also run it on Instagram. They're, you know... So they're helping each other out, growing the platforms.
Yeah.
It's very different for YouTube because YouTube's not not in the mix. So yeah, I'm not surprised. They're not going to make it
easy. No, it's not. There's a subscribe button, but you can't subscribe. And I think you can hit subscribe and then log in, but it doesn't do anything, which is weird. So I do that a lot on my Instagram story. Hey, swipe up to watch the rest of the video or watch the video. They can... I don't know if they can. I think they can watch it, but they can't subscribe. So my call to action is hit like, subscribe, but they can't subscribe, which that's where my following is. So is kind of interesting.
Are you using IGTV?
I haven't. I need to start loading my YouTube content on IGTV. And my my feed is, I'm weird. I like to keep my pictures square with white borders, and I've been doing it for years, and I've been wanting to change it, but to change it, my aesthetic's going to change, and I have to start over. And
now, and listen, as a photographer, I would expect nothing less of you than to be, you know, really
It matters to
particular.
Me. It sounds stupid, but it just, like, I just can't get myself to do it. I'm not going to change it for IGTV, so.
No, and there are, so what I love is that there are so many apps out there. So, for example, there's an app called Plan, P-L-A-N-N, and what it does, it allows you to curate your Instagram feed to look and feel a certain way. So what you can do is... you can actually go in there, upload photos, move them around, and see how it's going to look like.
Yeah.
And then it helps you with scheduling the, you know, the Instagram post and stuff. But that, I mean, people pay good money to have a nice curated Instagram feed.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. Let's talk about content. All right, let's go back to that. Actually, we started touching on that. Tell me about, all right, so what kind of things can we give them? People advice on content creation, what content that will gain traction or that will gain attention?
So freebies are a really great place to start. Anything that
freebies?
Has freebies. So anything that has to do with like a checklist or a downloadable PDF sheet, you know, you'd be surprised. Sometimes I did one on brand identity. And so basically it's just I created a one sheet that, you know, I did boxes and I said, okay, when you're thinking about your brand identity, here are three questions that you need to ask. And then I gave them a space to write in there. The form itself looks pretty simple because it's just questions with boxes where people can write stuff, but people do download that because they want to be able to, you know, to plan stuff ahead.
Now, how do you do that? How do you, is there a website where you can upload this document and, you know, and then they can download? Do you just put that on the link? Hey, I mean,
yeah, you could do it several ways. So there are free places that you could upload it. For example, right now I'm using, which I'm in the process of, I'm going to change my platform where I have my website, but right now I have it on Shopify. So Shopify works really great because I can upload files, PDFs, and then people just download them
for free.
And you could do the same thing though on Google. So you just need a link. And then, of course, you have to be able to say, make it accessible to everybody. But then they could download the PDF from there.
Gotcha.
So,
Shopify is not free, though. You have to
no, it's not.
Okay. Yeah. So as far as What else as far as content creation? What else?
Yep. So the one thing I always recommend to people is I actually keep a little notebook in my purse or in my day bag. And anytime that I'm in the car and I'm listening to a podcast and I'm like, oh, I could do a spinoff of that, or, you know, that's a great thing to later on write about, I'll just make a note, or I'll make a note in my phone. Mm-hmm. And so then by the time I go in to look at what kind of freebies or content I want to create, I'll actually have an idea of just a list of ideas that I can pull from. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, I'll do, if you're doing blogging, top three things to X, Y, and Z. Any of the questions, a lot of times if I sit there and I ask, okay, what kind of questions might business owners have about, you know, social media strategy? And I'll write down maybe a couple questions. And then from there, I'll say, well, what part of this can I take and explain in a really simple way?
Mm-hmm. What do you say to those people that are quote unquote perfectionists? Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of excuses as far as creating content, like, oh, I want it to look good, or I don't look so pretty, or I don't look good, or I don't sound good, I don't know what to write, or I want it to be perfect, that's why we haven't really done anything.
It's exactly what you said, they're excuses. I mean, the thing is, and it goes back to what I was mentioning earlier, people are scared to look foolish, or they just don't want to put something out there that's half-assed. So it's better to put something out there that's not perfect than to put nothing out there.
Right.
Right. And believe it or not, so even in my day job when I do marketing, I write, so I'll write press releases, I'll write brochures, I'll do stuff like that. But creating content, it's like a muscle. So the more you do it, the easier it gets. And then before you know it, once you've done it for like a month and you've done little things here and there, you'll start to see that you're getting a lot quicker at it. The other tip that I have that's really helpful is, you know, it takes you as long to do something as you know, the time you allot for it. So for example, if I'm about to start writing my script for my video, I'll say I have an hour to write this. And what that forces me to do is to get kind of like a brain dump on the paper, and then I go through and I organize it. I might not be done and complete within that hour, but at least at that point I've started, I have a game plan together, and then I could go back and revisit it.
And you probably have accomplished a lot.
You have, yeah. Yep. But that's the thing. Even if you have 20 minutes a day to just sit down and start typing, even if it's open a Word document and then just put all ideas in there or whatever it is, it'll start to get easier over time with practice.
At the end of the day, you have to just execute. You just have to want to do it. And you have to embrace that it's important. Yeah. I think that's the challenge right now. A lot of people don't think that it's important.
Yeah,
they think it's important, but they kind of think that it's not, that it is, then it's not.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think a lot of people there, until they start to see that it's actually driving people to their website, their blog, their Instagram, whatever it is, because that's the other part of it too, is having the analytics, mm-hmm. right? So I put a freebie out there, I can tell how many people download it.
Right.
So that way I know, okay, that wasn't really popular, I should probably not do something like that. Or, hey, they really like this format, so I can do other material.
It takes a lot of patience too, because not just because you post one content today that you're going to bring in all these customers.
Yeah.
How patient do people need to be?
I think it depends on what, you know, how are you in it for the long run or short term? So business, it's what's interesting to me is a lot of times, so I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there was something that really spoke to me the other day. Rachel Hollis, you know, she's like blown up in the past couple of years, and she was on a podcast and she said, every time someone introduces me and they say overnight success, she's like, they don't know the 11 years it's taken me to get here. It's slow. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is, progression. Mm-hmm. And then when you look, someone had posted her Instagram feed from even 2 years ago, had very few likes on a particular picture compared to the amount of likes that she has now. It's crazy, but that's just what it is. I think you have to decide social media is a tool for you to use. It shouldn't be driving your business.
Mm-hmm.
They're all tools that you can incorporate and really grow your business, but it should not be the end all for what you're doing. So,
yeah, it's I definitely agree with that 100%. I've seen a lot of people that have been at it, and people say that, I hear that, overnight success. But if you really track back. They've been at it. They've been on YouTube for 8 years, some of them 5 years, some of them 11 years. It's not an overnight success. They've been at it for a very long time.
Well, and I'll tell you, even with this was interesting. So when you had asked, reached out and said, hey, would you like to come on the podcast? I mentioned your name to two of my girlfriends. One of them, she's in the event planning space, and she's like, oh my gosh, you're the second person that's talked about him within a week. And she's like, he's so well known and all this. And then the other person, it was the same thing. Oh my gosh, Virgil, everyone knows about him. So even within your own journey, you know, people can say, wow, he has such a massive following, he's all over the place, he's jet setting and taking all these great pictures. But then you know how long it's taken you to build that up.
14 years.
Yeah. And it's the stuff behind the scenes. I think the fun part of it, though, and my husband and I were talking about this, is making it look easy, right? That's the key, is you don't tell people about, you know, the 14 years behind you, but you make it look easy so everyone's like, oh, my gosh. Like,
the same friend that mentioned earlier, that I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the podcast, asked me about what is it about, the next what my podcast was about. He asked me, okay, how are you making money? Yeah. I was like, I'm not. I kind of had to think it twice. It's like, he made me kind of think twice about it. I was like, wait, that's dumb. I'm not making money. I'm like, wait a minute. You know what? It's not about the money right now. It's I'm actually down $1,500 with all these equipment that I have for fancy podcasts, mics, fancy mics. But you know what? It's the journey and the process. I just love the process of it. And it's, I love creating content, because at the end of the day, for me to post photos all the time, I get bored. I mean, they're beautiful, but I feel like I need to post something different that I'm doing. I need to be an actual human being and and post things that are, that's going on, you know, in the business, in podcasts, or outside of the beautiful photos that I am posting. I want to create value. I want to give value. And that's, I think that's where this podcast came about. And I don't really know. I'm still trying to find my voice. Trying to figure out, but I love the people that I talk to. I love the people that I am. It gives me an avenue to connect with people like you, for instance. Like, I don't know, if it wasn't for the podcast, I don't know how else would I have reached out for to you about something else, you know. And
no, you don't remember your old friends.
Right, but you know, like after a wedding, it's like, you know. And then, like, for instance, I interviewed the top wedding planner in the country, Tara Girard, the other week. I mean, I've been waiting for a long time, you know, to somehow get connected with her, but she's always so busy. But I say, you know what? I want to give her value. I want to put her on. So let's do a podcast. And sure enough, she agreed right away. I'm like, well, this is like the best way to connect with people, podcasts.
Well, and so what's interesting in what you said is, and I think a lot of times we're so busy, right, with we have come to glamorize being busy. I don't know why, but everyone's like, I'm too busy. Like, I can't do lunch with you because I'm too busy today.
Right.
It's really important. We're human, and we need to have a creative spark to us. So when I started doing the videos, I actually didn't start off doing that. I was looking for something because I had this sudden need where I can be really creative at work because, you know, we're working with graphics and we're doing this stuff. But I needed something different because, like you said, I've been doing it for so many years. So I actually started painting. I'm awful at painting. It was something that I started doing, and I thought, great, I like doing it. Well, then I'm like, painting's really not my jam, so maybe videos are. And then I found, oh, okay, I really enjoy the process of doing this. But I think that I read something the other day. It said, you learn who you are through through application, right?
Right.
So going out there and trying. You could sit there and say all day long, I don't think I'd like painting. I don't think I would like doing a podcast. But until you try it, you don't know.
Right.
And then you might suddenly, like yourself, you're really good at, you know, hosting and coming in and asking these great questions. And so I doubt that's something that you would have found in any other avenue besides doing this.
Well, the other thing too is, I don't know if I've found, if, I mean, I learned so much with every interview, like, you know, and bouncing off ideas with this podcast. I think it's just my excuse to ask the questions I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you, selfishly, I wanted to know how you're doing your platform, like Facebook, Instagram, IGTV. Like, how do you do it? Like, I'm working with a physicians group where I'm creating content for them on video. Do I put 40 seconds on Facebook and then and then put a link on the YouTube for the full episode. And then what do I do with IGTV? So I'm just, I mean, it's a great way to really connect and share ideas and brainstorm as well. So,
well, and a lot of times people too, especially small business owners, right. We all have egos, right? We don't want to, we'll Google something before we go and ask someone else, like, hey, how are you doing this? Mm-hmm. But if you have a question that you want answered, there are probably 20 other people that have the same question. So yeah. I think it's great for people to be resourceful.
Right.
That's the big thing, is like, just there's so much content and information out there, and we're living in a day and age where remember back in the day you had to go on forums to look at this stuff. I mean, all this information's out there for free now.
For free. Yeah. Oh, there's so much.
It's great.
What do you think about podcasting? Is that huge? Is that something you're going to take on one day?
I actually had a couple of years ago, I wanted to do a podcast, and I looked into it and all that, even bought a little, mic and all that. Podcast is great. It's a different forum.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's very different than video, but there's a ton of opportunity to get out there and actually monetize on it and do really well. So
I think it's the future.
It is.
I think because you can listen to podcasts when you're cooking, when you're driving, when you're stuck in traffic, commute to work, when you're showering, when you're cleaning, instead of. I'm always the person that needs to be listening to something. I can't stand dead silence.
Yeah.
So when I'm editing, either I'm watching something on YouTube or listening on YouTube or listening to a podcast, I think it's huge. And you can actually strip the audio out of your videos.
To put onto the...
It on podcasts.
Are you giving me more work to do? Yeah.
It's a lot of work. But it's not that much because you're stripping that audio.
That's already.
And with podcasts, we're going almost to an hour now.
Yeah.
You don't have, it doesn't say, hey, to do a podcast, right, you have to do an hour. I've seen podcasts that are 8 minutes, 10 minutes, and the quick and easy, real quick. And I think, I don't know what the statistics are, but people are likely to probably listen to the 8 minute, 10 minute ones because it's quick
it's
and
short.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I listen to a couple 10 minute ones. I think, I want to say every Monday or every morning, but like as I'm walking my dog, I put my headphones on. You know, so it's pretty cool. I think you should do it. But
well, I'm definitely actually that's not a bad idea. So I will definitely give you mad credit whenever I decide to take that leap.
For sure, yeah. Mad credit when you get famous. Remember when? What software are you using to edit your videos?
So I just made the leap to Camtasia. I was actually just doing it on regular iMovie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a
long Camtasia
time.
Better than iMovie?
I'm still kind of up in the air about it. I haven't sat down and really like given it because I've just been, go. So I'll, whenever I do have time. But I do like that you can incorporate a lot more graphics and stuff into there.
I have Camtasia. I plan to use Camtasia to do in-screen like tutorial on editing.
Mm-hmm. It's really great for that.
And it's like, what, $250 a year or something like that?
Yeah, it's relatively inexpensive.
Is it a yearly thing or you buy it once?
You buy it once, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to double check, but I'm almost certain you only buy it once.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, we're wrapping up. Thank you so much
for
being here. As always, with every podcast, you have 10 seconds to promote your website, Instagram, following, whatever you want to promote. So go.
So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram under The Seasoned Marketer, and I share marketing tips, tools, and tactics for and with resourceful business owners every week. So definitely connect with me there.
Awesome. Thanks again for coming.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you guys for listening. You guys are awesome. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.